Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
For me.
I am doing the intro. Okay. Survivor Specialist Alexa and Robert are back, the duo that nobody asked for, but everybody deserves. How you doing, Robert? It's been a while since it's been the two of us.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've been stuck with Phil for the past however long. But
I know. Thank you for replacing me.
You guys thought that you had the end of me, but it is, alas, I have returned against Phil's intentions, but here we are.
But here we are after a crazy episode. I mean, that was that was a lot. We're going to need to walk through this. This is why Phil usually leads and not me. But here we go. What did you think?
Oh, my God. This is like one of the best episodes of Survivor that we've seen in a really long time.
Yes.
Like just going over it generally, we had the survival aspect of it. We saw them getting rained on super early on. We had the social commentary. We had the social interactions of people like talking and like, conniving with each other. We had a really close challenge. We had a really great strategic play by Kelly. Like, I don't know what more you want.
I want
no Boston
more.
Rob. I don't know. There you go.
Boston Rob, his beer belly looked like it was coming out a little more, even though I thought they were supposed to be starving. But that was a crazy, crazy episode. I actually, I had to watch the end to see who voted for who. And I was super confused when I saw that Kelly voted for Dean. So just to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly, she did that to seem loyal, or was she also blindsided? Amazing.
Oh my God.
That is so good.
She is
a queen with a K.
Oh my God. She hit it perfectly. That is a fantastic move. Oh my God.
It was incredible. Absolutely fantastic. And it was, before we jump to any conclusions, before I compare this to the Kelly Wentworth, Andrew Savage idol play, that was just a dramatic, like, Dean, 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 who's it going to hit? Jack. Like, no one saw that coming.
I thought that because, like, Kelly originally said that they wanted, like, to do Jack or Jamal, I was like, is Jamal about to play his idol for someone else and then get voted out himself?
And I don't think that's ever happened before. So if that were to have happened, I think that would have been the first time, which also
even
would have
if it has happened before, like incredible. That would have
incredible.
Been amazing. That would have been so good.
So I was the whole time I was thinking it was going to be Jamal because similar to what happened with Jason last week, Jamal has a extensive confessional about how comfortable he felt, which is normally the way to just immediately get voted out. He said he was, I mean, I'm sure this wasn't actually true, but he felt safer than he had in a while. Everything's all good. And so it hitting Jack, especially after Jack and Kelly have that moment of like, we have to make the merge together. Then you can backstab me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so good. That was,
I mean,
beautiful.
I feel like especially the last few seasons, like the Survivor editors have like for a while, they're like, oh, if someone says they're safe, that means that they're going home. But now they're like turning it around on us, and it's so fantastic.
So fantastic. Really sucks for Jack though. You could see, I mean, when he kind of tripped at the end, he couldn't even laugh at himself. Like that was tough. And this whole season, this episode and this whole season has felt so clearly as if it's for the fans, because you see so many people saying like, I have to make the merge. Like you can totally vote me out at the merge. I just have to make it to the merge. And they're all so upset for each other and themselves that they may not make it. And Jack was the one who went out there and, you right. know, I think it was episode two. He was like, this is awesome. Like, I'm so feeling this whole survival aspect.
Oh, and you saw like how nervous Tommy was, but he might not.
Oh my. Yeah. We'll get to Tommy.
Oh my God.
A lot of like really funny and interesting commentary. Just a lot of Tommy screaming.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. It was deep and guttural. Not a noise I was expecting to come out of Tommy, but the show surprises you sometimes.
Yes, it does in many ways.
But yeah, like you said, I mean, we'll go chronologically through this, but a lot of social commentary too. And I thought this was a really good and interesting episode, especially coming off of last week. And you see Jamal. Come back. There you are.
Come back, internet.
How you doing?
I'm back. Right. Okay, we're good.
Okay, you're back. All right. So I thought this was really interesting because last week we see Jamal as the teacher. And in this episode, we saw Jamal really taking a back seat and learning and understanding from what the four women in front of him had to say. So we'll get to that. But I thought that was a really interesting juxtaposition between the past two episodes.
Right. And going like even if we're going chronologically, like last week, we saw Jamal like, you know, being the person who was providing the commentary of, you know, what it's like to be an African-American and like what can happen, even if you don't think about it. And this time he was like, at the beginning, he was at like the other side of it where he was like, oh yeah, like Kelly, I got it. Like, even though Jack asked Kelly to make the fire.
Yes. It was
like, what a crazy edit Jamal is getting where it's just like,
he's getting such a weird edit. I know.
Like, what? Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Going right into that, Jamal, like this episode did not start out great for him. And you know, from what we saw, you know, Jamal's struggling, and then obviously like Kelly makes it and it's instantaneous, but we see him and Kelly kind of getting into it a little bit. And similar to what I think Nora had said at tribal council, like Nora and Jamal are just big personalities, and Kelly and Jamal are both strong-willed personalities. So they're totally going to clash at right. points.
And also like, it makes sense that Survivor casts big personalities that, you know, are going to, you
know, yeah, they want type A people who know how they feel. Yeah, exactly. Right, and I loved watching that because I like all, I mean, I like everyone, but like I love both Jamal and Kelly. So he has that where he kind of like keeps going into Kelly a little bit, and Jack's like, no, dude, like kind of back off. And that was kind of what was leading me into thinking that he was going to go home tonight. So the editors totally blindsided me on that, which I really liked.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know. Like, is Jamal gonna win? He's such like a fleshed out, like going by like, oh, if you're analyzing movies, like this is a very well-rounded character that we have in Jamal, of someone mm-hmm. who like you see like the positives and the negatives of him mm-hmm. and everything that he's doing. Like he had that good moment when he found his immunity idol mm-hmm. back in like episode two or whatever it was, of like how he stays focused and like, you know, and strong. And it's just, oh my God, it's all over the place. And then you get to Dan, who is just a, you know, they're kind of throwing him under the bus, unfortunately there, but.
I think he might be tossing himself under the bus on that one. Yeah. But yeah, I think Jamal is such a fascinating character. I feel like at least this early in the game, I guess now we're at the halfway point, we're at the merge, but at this point I've never seen such a strong, like, villain who is like a normal person. Like Jamal is a very normal guy who is cocky, is understanding, is confrontational, is like willing to learn, and he's super complex. And I really like that they're showing that, because I think 10 seasons ago they would have just made him out to be a total jerk, or they would have made him out to be a total hero. So I'm really liking that we're getting a little bit of both from him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of like emotional whiplash of like, oh, do I like Jamal? Do I not? But, you know,
yeah,
it's nice.
And just looking at this chat, we're getting, Gamer Girl right here says him being cocky is why I mixed on him. And I think that's super fair. But
I think they want you to feel mixed on them. I think that's the
yeah.
point, you know?
I think so too. And I like that because I think a lot of people feel mixed about a lot of people. That's a very normal. And I think it was Kelly has had, first of all, Kelly had incredible confessionals tonight, but she had one tonight saying, you know, if I was well fed and sleeping well, I probably wouldn't be in as bad of a mood, or I wouldn't be fighting with Jamal, but that's not the world that they're living in right now.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So going back earlier in the episode, one thing that I really liked was we got this shot of like it thunderstorming at night. Mm-hmm. And usually like when it switches over, I think it was right after we got the reactions of the post-tribal council, like all that stuff. But usually when it switches over to the lower third of like Lyra, like day 16, it just, mm-hmm. for me, it feels like it's just like a reminder of like, oh, here's who we're talking about now. But like, when we switched, it like faded to black, and then we zoomed in the dark of like Lyra day 16, and it felt like season one again.
Yeah,
like, these people are in the rain and it's dark and they're suffering, and then we get this shot of like Karishma sleeping, and then it like lightning strikes, and then like it's daytime, and
it was awesome
in the same position, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like, they're showing off like how hard it is just to survive again. Like, they're making it like these elements are beating down on these contestants. And that was, oh, it was so cool.
It was so well done. So they actually, I'm glad you brought that up. They did that cut right after. So they obviously started in the Vokai tribe. Original Vokais are in, I believe, Missy's words, butt hurt. And then they cut to the original Lyros and they're like, all is well. And then Aaron says something along the lines of like, they think, you know, like they're crawling back to us because we're in control, and we are. And then cut to the other camp. I was like, that was so awesome.
Was so good.
Yeah, that was so great. Good. But yeah, I mean, at this point, we don't see a ton of survival. So just seeing them like sitting in the cold rain and then trying to make a fire, then it's not working. That was fantastic. And that's, and then even in the challenge is pouring rain at the beginning. So, yeah,
and then it was like, oh, it was pouring rain at the beginning, and Jeff's like, oh, Fiji weather, haha. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure,
okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. You got it, Jeff. But so then we bounce back to the Vokai tribe, and we see, Dan place an arm around someone. I know Robert and I were unsure of who it was.
I thought that was, that it was Jamal putting his arm around someone at the beginning, and I'm like, what's going on? And then it was like, oh yeah, it's Dan. Okay.
Oh yeah, it sounds like Dan. Sure, yeah. So yeah, where I think I thought it was Lauren, you thought it was Missy, TBD, but we see this conversation happen again where people are uncomfortable with how Dan has been interacting with them. And this has been obviously kind of a recurring theme. And again, we see them uncomfortable with it, but we also see them like joking around, and
they're like, oh, we're just bonding. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. And yeah. I think Lauren said that Lauren is like, it's 95% of this game is bonding. And I actually thought they were going to go further into the Dan thing, but I realistically think this is something this has come up so many times. This is going to come to a head very soon. So I think they're like, the editors are probably saving that conversation for when it happens, because then Lauren shifted to, I need to be everyone's friend, and Tommy needs to be everyone's friend. And we have another really emotional conversation between Lauren and Tommy, and Lauren is just like,
yeah,
you gotta rock up. And he is like trying not to cry, and that was crazy to watch.
They've really shown Tommy and Lauren being super close, but we haven't shown them like, we've shown them being close, but we haven't seen them like really like focus in on a move that they do together. So
right.
maybe that's something that, you know, we're being alluded to, is like, you know, one of them betrays another person, or they make a really big move together. Who knows?
Yeah, because they voted together on the Molly boo, but that feels like a million years ago at this point. But I think it's pretty clear that like out of that crew, and even when Jason was still there, it was always just Dan was there, and then the rest of them were in an alliance. And I know Phil and I had talked about this during last week's recap, but we thought the reason that Tommy and Lauren were saved were because they had connections to the other group. And we saw that even more today. We saw Lauren and Missy had a couple moments together after they won the challenge, when Missy was like, one of us is going to win.
Oh yeah.
Hint, hint, wink, yeah. Wink.
We'll get to that. Oh, that got me fired.
We have a lot of potential winners after this episode.
We
because
do.
Sandra's
we
having do. Someone a winner. But anyways, so then, yeah, we have a lot. So then Lauren and Tommy smartly, like in my opinion, this was a good idea, maybe not fantastically executed. They're like, okay, we got to push Dan away. We got to make him seem slimy. When I feel like everyone already thinks that, and I think they maybe oversold it a bit. And again, we just saw like a cut. We saw like three cuts of them doing that. And then, I mean, Missy's so freaking good at this game. She pretty much took exactly what Lauren said and said the exact same thing. Like she was not fooled whatsoever.
Right. Oh my God. It was so good. I was thinking when Missy was getting the villain edit, I'm like, maybe she won't. But now it's like, Missy's still really good. They're all really good.
I'm liking her. I know she's tweeted like, guys, I don't really get why I'm a villain. I think she's just really smart at this. She's really smart. She knows this game really well. And I think she just has a no BS attitude about it. Like, yeah, she's like, yeah, I know what Lauren right. you're trying to do. Like, it's so obvious.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into how strong of a reaction Lauren and Tommy had when they won that. I mean, Tommy just jumped onto that puzzle.
I was just like, why do you want to jump on it?
Oh my God, is he okay?
You know, maybe crazy. If I won a Survivor challenge, I would do the same thing. Who's to say?
Probably, especially if you were on chalk block to go home, because I actually think it sounded like they would have preferred one of the two of Tommy and Lauren to go home over Dan, which is shocking. But I get it. I totally get it.
I mean,
I think. Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't have. Just keep going. Keep going. It's just fired up.
Because I think what's really interesting is Lauren and Tommy have connections to these original Lyros, but they're really tight together. And I think Missy sees that, because Missy and Elizabeth, I think, are really tight. And I don't think Missy wants anybody to be. I don't think Missy wants any two people to be as close together as she is to them. And she's doing a really good job of not showing that, but that's just kind of what I've observed. And she's taking like a much more empathetic is the wrong word, but like version of what Boston Rob did in Redemption Island, where he was like, no one can be friends with anybody, but she's doing it. She's just like voting them out. It's amazing. Friendly.
That's a low bar.
Extremely low bar. But I think it's really impressive. And I think no one's really catching on to it. I don't really know if that's her strategy, but that's what I'm seeing.
It's working so far.
It's working really well for her so far.
Very well.
So we get to this challenge, and I really like this challenge. I like when you throw the coconuts into the basket. Especially as someone who's pretty bad at basketball, I like that they could do kind of the between the legs like chuck.
Yeah, they were like telling Janet, use your legs and go up. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I think she still missed it, but like, whatever. I thought it was funny when Jeff was like, there's strategy in this and strategy in selecting your coconut. And I'm like, oh, I guess, like, I'm sure
coconuts have
different weights or something, right?
Yeah, and it cuts to Dean like pushing a coconut to get a different coconut.
I'm like, are they, like, I guess they're that different, you know? Sure.
Find it the right must coconut. Have been heavy. I mean, I've held a coconut. I'm as you all can see, I'm pretty gangly, but it doesn't seem like coconuts are particularly heavy, but those very well could have been heavier.
It's like in David vs. Goliath when Carl went to Exile Island and had to find the right coconut with the idol nullifier.
Just like had to swim around and like push all the right coconuts around.
Yeah, that's what this challenge was, just finding the right coconut for you to throw.
Yeah. And Dean playing D1 basketball again helps out. I really feel like they tailor the challenges, even though I know that they don't. And then cuts to a puzzle, and I usually don't love things ending in puzzles, which means that I have difficulties with a lot of challenges. I like this puzzle because it was simple, because everyone knows the logo. Everyone sees the logo. But the way it wasn't like a slide puzzle, and so the way you had to fit the pieces in was it had to be perfect.
And they were heavy and really big too, right?
Yeah, those looked gigantic. And apparently this was, I said, Julie Rosenberg had tweeted this to Lauren, I believe. But this was the challenge that didn't air on Edge of Extinction. This was the reward challenge that like happened, but never happened.
That's cool.
Very fun fact. Yeah. I don't know who won or what happened, but it allegedly has happened before. But man, what a tough way to lose, because you see it and it's just not fitting in.
Well, you also see like, Vokai was like, they were so close. And then Elaine was like, guys, it's wrong. And they're like, put it in, Elaine. And she's like, okay. And then Jeff was like, it's wrong. And then I was like, that's the moment they lose. That's the moment they lost the challenge.
Like, poor Elaine. Like, nobody believes in her.
Yeah.
No one thinks Elaine is smart right enough. There. I know. And this is it's an oval. Like, it's there. It's but this one was just so, like, Tommy was freaking out. Like, Jack was freaking out.
Tommy yelling.
Okay, so this, yeah, I took notes on Tommy yelling because I thought it was so funny. Oh, we also have to talk about Janet exposing herself. We have a lot. This guy is such a good episode. Tommy screamed, "Put the thing in," about three times, but in like a voice that didn't even sound like his, because he has like such a kind voice, and he like hulked out. It was terrifying.
Oh my god! I want that to be a GIF.
Someone's got a GIF this entire episode. It was so well done. But yeah, it was great because everyone was like kind of silent for a second and Tommy's just like, like raging in the background by himself. But I think the way that, and I'm not just saying this because Lyra like technically should have won. I think Vokai had the right strategy of Lauren is just standing there telling them where to go, and then two or three of them are running around and actually doing the puzzle.
I feel like Lauren is like really good at puzzles. I feel like she's always the one.
I feel like she's really good at puzzles.
Yeah.
And this was one where you wouldn't originally think that you need like a caller or a leader, but when you look over at how it was going with Lyra, like Karishma and Jamal and Kelly and Nora were just like screaming at each other because they're all strong personalities. I think having one person tell them move this, this, and that, and then Aaron and Elaine and whoever the other person was were just moving them. I think that was a much more efficient way to go about it, even though it's like a seemingly simple puzzle.
Yeah, I mean they had the opportunity to mess up and then still win. So I mean, you know, barely, but you know,
yeah,
it still worked.
But that was like super dramatic. Again, I feel like there isn't a lot of drama at the end of puzzles, because normally, like Lyra has been pretty weak at puzzles, but this was dramatic and fun.
They continue to do so. Yeah. And usually, like I feel like we don't usually get challenges that are this close. I mean, it's usually just like, oh, someone's like pretty, like decently far ahead. Oh, no comeback. Cool. I guess they win. But, you know, close challenges are great.
Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. And especially because we, other than last week, we've really only been getting one challenge per episode.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I want them to be good.
Speaking of challenges, we could talk about how Janet did not accept the challenge from Boston Rob.
Janet did not accept the challenge. So Janet goes to the Island of the Idols, and she gets the call, and she gets emotional, and she's like, I'm so scared.
Yeah.
Which is so fascinating. And this is, I mean, when she ends up going to Rob and Sandra and saying, you know, when people go here, it puts a huge target on their back. And I'm sure that didn't come as a huge surprise to Rob and Sandra, but it's been so interesting that people are like, oh, I really don't want to go to this, even though we're in such a era of Survivor where you like people are just depending on idols and advantages. So I thought it was really interesting that she was scared, and I think she 1,000% did the right thing. And
oh, absolutely.
I really like how they edited her. Like the whole time, I feel like she had her mouth open. She was just like, "What is going on?"
She had a really good point. It was like, either if I lose, I lose my vote, and if I win, I lose my vote and get safety and get a target on my back. So it's like there's really no, you know, reason to do it. But also, like, one of the main things was like, "Oh, if you say no to Boston Rob, you can negotiate." But we didn't see any of the negotiation for like, "Ooh, you'll be safe for two tribal councils or something." It was just like, "No, you're not doing it. Cool. I guess that's it. We're gonna send you right back."
Yeah, this was really interesting because I know everyone's kind of debating the rules of Island of the Idols, but I think the rules are just whatever Boston Rob and Sandra feel like doing.
Yeah.
So Janet comes in, they explain the whole thing to her, and they say, you can play this, do this challenge, you can play this game, and you get it's called a safety without power, which she would have the ability to do through the final seven, where she could just nope her way out of tribal council before voting. So as she walked out
later.
Yeah, it's like the SpongeBob, like, I'm a head out of here. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. Again, a very memeable episode tonight.
Fantastic.
But I really like that she walked us through it, because I was sitting there trying to think if I would take that. And at first glance, I liked it. Like, at first glance, I'd be like, oh, I'm like, there's no blood on my hands because I didn't vote for anybody. But to Janet's point, she's leaving her people in, like, just kind of in the dust for one of them to get voted out. So I really like that she walked through her thought process. Right. And what did she, what I was waiting for her to ask is I was waiting for her to ask what the challenge was. Because if it was a super easy challenge, I might have taken it. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like the advantage is so, like, it's still so detrimental that, like, even if you do win, I mean, I guess it's kind of like if you're in a situation where you're going to go home anyways and you need some safety, like, yeah, put a target on my back because there already is one. But Janet doesn't seem like the person that, like, would need it, you know, or if she was going to get voted out, they wouldn't, like, you know, they wouldn't tell her. I don't think she would be someone that's going to, like, bend Dreeburg on her way to the end.
Right. You know? And I think she, and that was kind of alluded to right before she went there, when Nora was saying, let's do this all girls thing and let's get rid of, I think it was Jamal. Janet was kind of just like, no, like, what? I don't want to rock the boat. Like, this, there's no reason to rock the boat until the merge, which I thought was going to come back and bite her. But I think that showed that she was thinking two or three steps ahead, like Rob had been saying. Because I thought it was odd that she shut that down so quickly. But she said to Rob and Sandra, like, I have really good standing here. I can't give that up. And I thought that was really mature and really smart. And what I want to know is, do you think anybody who has been to Island of the Idols in the past, or anybody else who would have gone, would they have made the same decision?
I mean, it looks like Nora or Elaine, given their, you know, their time on the Island of the Idols, they probably would have just done it. But I do think that
I might have just done it.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff, like,
to be honest, around, like,
Survivor media of being like, yeah, you know, you go on your first time and you're like, let's just do everything because it's Survivor and it's fun. And I'm sure there's a little bit of that, but maybe Janet is wise enough to be like, oh, whatever. I don't need this.
Yeah. And Rob has, like, approving father look, like he's glaring at her and he's like, why? And
that then was, she, that, I was laughed terrifying. So hard. Why?
And I'm like, Dad, I'm sorry.
Like, I didn't mean to anger you. Sorry you wanted to play your game, because that's all you get to do once every 3 days.
But she, like, stood her ground. And if he said that to me, I would have been like, I don't know, I'm so sorry. But he,
fine,
and
he, it.
Like, I'll give up my vote, whatever.
Yeah.
But he liked it. And he was like, that was the right decision. And then they whisk her back home. And then she takes her shirt off, which I totally thought Rob was going to go back to her and say, well, what if you can vote and then ditch, or, like, all this other stuff. But I think he knew. It probably didn't really get haggled down, because I think he knew that she wasn't going to budge on it.
Right. Also, for anyone in the prop bet, no, Janet flashing does not count as getting blurred, because it is mouth gets blurred.
I would like the record to show that Robert and I were texting before this, and I wanted to overrule and say that this counts.
I mean, it's your game, Alexa. It's you and Phil. I'm just saying what the words say on the document.
Yeah, but some mouths got blurred up. You think Missy did?
I think it was Missy. Did, which they wrote Dean down. Did, and Jack did.
Jack did. Okay. Yeah. Jack also made the jury.
Yeah. What?
Talk to me. Possible? What is up?
I don't know. How? It's a 14th place at the jury now. It's been, what's the last time, what, it's Heroes versus Villains that was the last time that we had jury before merge, right? Maybe last.
Did Corinne make the jury in Karamoan?
I thought Corinne made the merge and not the
but not the jury. You're probably right. Yeah, so what do you think about that? Weird. This has nothing, like, to do with how I feel about Jack. I'm not crazy about it. I don't like it.
I don't like it because, I mean, one of the problems I had with Edge of Extinction was that, you know, you had you had Reem voting for someone. Yeah, I was going to say Reem and Keith, but Keith left. I was like, Reem voting for people that she hasn't met. She never met Gavin or Julie. She only met Chris. So if
Chris met Gavin and Julie when he got back into the game.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, we have Jack now on the jury, and it's like, you haven't met everybody yet. So if one of those people that you haven't met makes it to the end, like, what do you just not vote for them? Do people, like, are people at a disadvantage because they didn't get tribe swapped onto your team before you got voted out, and therefore they don't, like, you don't know them? Like, that's a little not fun.
Yeah, what if the final three is Missy, Elaine, and Aaron?
Yeah, like, who does Jack vote for?
You know? Right. And it has nothing to do with Jack. I really like Jack, but that just seemed, I don't know. Yeah, it's been a really long time since they did that. And I know Phil's always made this argument that part of the reason why juries are so large is because now you can, like, kind of get more character out. So we'll still see Jack, and Jack will have jury reactions. Jack will speak during the final tribal council. But I don't know.
I'm not mad about it in Heroes vs. Villains, because, like, everybody knows who's on, like, I mean, except for, like, Russell, but, like, no one knows who Russell is, so that's, like, just a Russell thing. Like, who was the first jury member in Heroes Villains? Was it Courtney?
Coach? JT? Courtney. Courtney. Yeah, it was Courtney.
I think it was Courtney. Yeah. But, like, Courtney knows everybody else that's on the tribe, or on the season, really. She knows all the heroes. She probably knows who Colby is, so.
I mean, one would hope.
I hope so.
It was Coach, yeah, like, according to everybody.
It was Coach. Okay, Coach knows Coach who Colby is. Yeah. So, like, I don't know.
Coach,
I don't know.
Suplex Colby.
yeah. I don't know. Jack doesn't know everybody, and that takes away, like, from the main Survivor thing of, like, how do you vote people out and still get them to vote for you, like. It's a little messy. But.
Yeah, it's a little messy. And we saw the preview for next week, and we've seen enough merge episodes to know that the merge boot is just a hot mess. And it's just such a Russian roulette of, like, who talks to who, and that's who goes home. So I feel like Jack's going to miss all of that. And then the information he gets is just going to be from people who are voted out. So not crazy about it, but Jack's probably pumped, which is good.
Here we are. He was pumped.
Relative term, but.
He was like, yeah, I'm really disappointed I got voted out. Like, it kind of sucked, but I made the jury. You know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. So I totally missed jury, that.
I guess. Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Unless we have a final four.
Trying to prevent those ties. Ooh, final four would be confusing.
That'd be weird. But I wouldn't like that.
Yeah, wouldn't like that at all. yeah, I totally missed Jack's last words, because I was too busy staring at the votes to, like, figure out who Kelly voted for. So it ends up where Dean and Nora, the dream team we all wanted, vote out Jack. And that was crazy, crazy, crazy.
That was insane.
I think incredible move by Kelly and Dean and Nora. I mean, we got to give the Nora the credit there too. Kelly's confessional, where she figures it out, was fantastic.
That was incredible.
That was, you know, so, like, well done.
Never really in confessionals do we just get, like silence. Because usually they're like, all right, it's confessional, we got to have someone talking in it. But you had Kelly just, like, sit there and figure it out, like, in front of you, in front of the camera. Not just like, all right, I have the plan, here it is. Like, you saw the impetus of this move, like, come into play, which is great. I used that word so well.
I know. Beautiful word. $1 million word great. Right there.
Yeah, thank
you. No, I'm really glad they kept the camera rolling on her. And I'm the only other one I can think of. We're talking about Colby way too much for season 39. Is Colby in Heroes vs. Villains, where he's trying not to cry, and it's like 20 seconds of him just sitting there, like, realizing that he's not as great as he thought he was. And that was so powerful. And with Kelly, she's like thinking, and I think they cut away, and then they cut back to her, and she's just like, I freaking got this. And then she says, you know, like, she and Dean had that connection, and we were doing predictions with Lauren earlier this week on Sunday, and it was Lauren or Phil who had said that Dean's connection to Kelly, that ex-girlfriend, whoever you are, if you're listening, You just saved Dean's booty big time. That relationship kept him around. And I think, and you see, you're saying like, I don't want to get rid of Dean. I really like Dean. And she's saying, I have to trust Nora. And I'm glad she did, because I'm sick of everybody trashing Nora. But see, but she trusted Nora, and it worked.
Yeah, I think it was good by Dean to be able to date that girl at the right time and then break up with her so that she could be friends with Kelly. No,
4D
I think
chess.
It was good.
Genius. Yeah,
4D chess of knowing you're going to be on Survivor in the future. I think it was. Did he?
So you finish your thought, and then I'll explain why Phil just lost the bet to Lauren O'Connell.
Yeah. So it was good of Dean to be able to have this relationship where, you know, you have someone that's willing to save you. But it was way better for Kelly to be like, why is Dean getting voted out? He's my ally. And in a game of relationships like Survivor, where you could, you know, we see people get like voted out all the time for like, oh, it's final six and I don't have any allies. Guess I'm sixth place. So for Kelly to be like, to have the forethought to think, I need to maintain these relationships while I still have control over them and have control who leaves the game, coming up with that plan is incredible. So please tell me what bet Phil lost, because I did not get
So first, Brendan Fetcher said Kelly kept an ally, convinced Nora to go against the group, which Nora had kind of been wanting to do anyways, all the while keeping her hands totally clean. Brilliant.
Actually brilliant. Yeah.
Truly brilliant. That was fantastic. And Nora, that's a really good point. Nora didn't get exactly what she wanted, but she got something. And I think what we'll get to talking about the actual conversation at the tribal council, but Nora had been wanting an all-girls alliance, and I think they all had some bit of interest in it. And so Nora ends up getting what she wants too. And Nora's a good ally. She didn't blow anyone's cover. She didn't do it. She was chucking Dean under the bus in tribal council.
I thought,
great.
Did Kelly go to Nora telling them the plan? I thought.
Oh gosh. Okay. We lost Robert for a second. So I'm going to talk because we don't have him right now. So I think Robert thinks that, oh, there he is.
All right. Obviously, wow. My internet does not want me to podcast today, but we're back.
Corwin Green was really upset. And no.
Thank you, Corwin Green. I know you're on my side. So I thought the plan was for Kelly to have Dean blow up Nora's game or something so that Nora would target Jack. I didn't know that Nora was in on the plan. I thought they
she
were just
might
like,
not have been.
I thought they were just like getting her, you know, to go against Jack. I thought that was the plan. Either
that could have been it too. Either way, it worked.
Either way, incredible.
Yeah.
Still really cool.
Yeah. Nicholas Labruna, can't believe she fired intern and Phil. Yes, that is me. I have full power over this podcast.
It is now Survivor Specialist.
It's just Survivor Specialist me. It's really hard when it's just you. But yeah, real quick side note. I actually don't know the reason why Phil isn't here tonight, but I know he's really busy. He's got some like work thing going on. Yes. As someone who also had a work thing going on for the past 6 weeks, I get it. But he's also not here because he is currently sobbing over the fact that he has to buy Lauren O'Connell a Applebee's gift card for an undisclosed amount of money. So Lauren was so convinced that Nora was safe because she's awesome. Both Lauren and Nora are awesome. And Phil was so convinced that Nora was going home, so they made a bet over an Applebee's gift card that Nora would stay or
That's
go home.
So funny.
So I would like all of you to know that Lauren O'Connell is about to go on a hot date to Applebee's with somebody with some amount of money.
Man, so, Phil, that was a really dumb bet. I hope when you listen to
this. I was like, Nora's making it to the final three. I don't know what you're thinking, Phil. Yeah. So anyway, so let's talk about Tribal Council. I thought that was a really good Tribal Council. I really want to, this is one that I'm absolutely going to rewatch and re-listen to because I think Kelly and Nora and Janet all had very different takes, different and similar takes on like what it means to have a woman's alliance and why it is or is not insulting to be afraid of that. I thought it was really interesting. And I don't exactly know where I stand on it, but I really liked that Jamal was fighting it and then he just sat back and listened. And I didn't realize that he worked for an all girls school. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he brought that up, but he took a step back and I think, and Jeff had said this too, I just think it was, it's really interesting that like they could have this really, really like deep and in-depth social conversation while at the same time still wanting to vote each other out. And Jamal, yeah, go ahead.
It kind of felt like they just like kind of forgot about the game a little bit. It felt like, oh, like we're going to have this discussion now about, you know, gender differences and, you know, what's going on in society and how Survivor is a microcosm of that. And sometimes you're like, oh, this still is in the realm of Survivor. But like this time they were like, it just felt so, I mean, they alluded, they were like, oh yeah, it's a microcosm, but the conversation just felt very real and very, you know, personal isn't really the right word for it, but like relevant to today's society. And that was really cool. And then Jeff was like, ah, but we have to vote people out. And I was like, yes, yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
Y'all got to kill each other now.
Forgot about that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, and they kept, I mean, this was very meta. Everyone was like, you know, in the past year or two, and they talked about the Me Too movement. I thought that was really cool. And I'm glad it ended with Janet's perspective, because Janet has been I feel like, is the one who's kind of been talking about this the most. In the premiere, she said, you know, I don't want any women to think that they can't do something. I don't want women to feel like they can't stand up for themselves, which I think is why this Dan thing is about to blow up big time. This is gonna end in fireworks, but yeah. I thought that conversation was really great. I'll want to re-listen to it, but I thought it was just really cool that all these people who were at odds with each other earlier in the episode and probably the entire time they were out on the island could just sit back and have this really interesting conversation. And then I think it was Kelly who was like, well, I hope we can all still be friends after we have to put each other out.
And it wasn't like an us versus them thing. It wasn't like, you know, here's why one group is better than, you know, one other group. It was like, here's why, you know, this group of women is so fantastic. And here's how, you know, like them as a tribe and like people as a society can, you know, come together and, you know, support each other and empower each other. So,
yeah. And then vote Jack off.
And then vote out Jack.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Very, very cool. All right. So MVP of the episode.
It's Kelly. And she had the strategic moves. She showed off her social gameplay by, you know, her connections to Dean and Nora. She had some really cool social commentary. Like, I don't know how you can say anyone. We should put up some other options just, you know, for formality, just to go through the motions.
Dean didn't mess up.
Dean didn't go home. Yeah. That's pretty big.
I have a question, but I guess in the middle of this. Why do we think Jamal played his idol on Nora?
I was thinking that it was as a reaction to Dean having an idol, and Jamal thinking that because Jamal and Jack had that conversation with Dean, and they're like, yeah, of course. Like Dean said, is it me or is it Nora? And Jack and Jamal said, oh yeah, of course it's Nora. Mm-hmm. So Jamal, knowing that, now seeing that Dean has an idol, thinks that Dean would have voted for Nora, and now Jamal is trying to protect Nora.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's my reason.
That makes sense. Logan Reitz said Nora got an idol played for her. I mean, if there's one way to be an MVP, it's for have people to give you free idols. So obviously Nora needs to be the MVP here.
Or Dean.
I think Dean gets something here. Obviously this was Kelly's move, but Dean had to execute it as well, and Nora potentially as well. But okay, that makes sense why Jamal played for Nora. I know everyone's going to be screaming that he's an idiot, because that's what people do when people misplay idols. But yeah, crazy, crazy episode. Crazy, crazy tribal council.
Does it count that Kelly misplayed her idol? Because she...
Did she misplay her idol?
Technically, she did. Or not, she didn't misplay her idol, but she wasn't on the right side of the votes, technically. She voted for Dean, but she idled Dean.
Oh yeah, because people always talk about like, oh, this person voted correctly or incorrectly.
Right. Because sometimes they're like, oh, it's on if you know about the split vote, right?
Yeah. Also, yes, really Gamer Girl, I have a gigantic crush on Nora. It's not a girl crush, it's a straight up crush.
a regular person, yeah.
just a real one.
We'll leave that for Reddit. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. Reddit's gonna be a dark place right now because it's all the like social commentary. Oh, people always forget about that.
Oh,
anyways,
God. I'm on Twitter looking at the hashtag Survivor. Kelly Kim tweeted out, literally, my heart is beating so fast watching this, and I know what happens.
Her Twitter has been fantastic.
Oh, Kelly's Twitter. MVP for her Twitter.
Yeah, fantastic. Her Twitter's the MVP. Yeah, someone tweeted, like, I don't understand what Kelly's doing. And she's like, fair.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So I guess, yeah, did Kelly... So I'm not one of the people who's big on like, oh, this person voted correctly the whole time because of situations like this. Like if you do a split vote where the guys vote one way and the girls vote the other way, but the guys
the split vote thing, like if you know about the split vote and you're a part of the split vote, even if you're on the incorrect side, it still counts.
Yeah. I think she did play this correctly. I think this is similar to the whole, this isn't super similar, but the whole Ben double agent thing, where Ben like faked the whole thing. True. And I think Kelly's going to be able to play this up so easily. One, because they're going into the merge and people are going to forget about this immediately. It's kind of like when Bradley got voted out and then the merge happened and no one cared. have to toss him under the bus. And because Kellen was supposed to be super mad and she probably was, but then they moved on. So I think it helps she's going to the merge. And she also... She went to Island of the Idols and then just cried her face off and then everyone believed her. Like she's she's fantastic at this. So I think she's
gonna
be fine there. Kelly's gonna win. She's looking great. And also she gets rid of her threat level because it's kind of like Elizabeth.
She masked her vote.
Yeah, she masked her vote and people kind of just like forgot that she went to Island of the Idols.
Right.
Yeah.
And she said that thing where she was like, if I give this idol to anybody except the person that's being saved, they're going to realize I was lying to them.
Exactly. So that was an incredible move by Kelly. And you know what? It benefits Kelly that Jack is on the jury because a lot of, you know, people never talk about pre-merge things at Final Tribal Council. This is assuming she makes it to Final Tribal Council. She's going to be able to point to that. Because Jack's on the jury.
Yeah, like that was like she sits in the finale and she's like, yeah, this is the whole thing that happened with Dean. That was me. Surprise.
Yeah. Surprise face. Surprise Pikachu face.
Surprise Pikachu Kelly. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so what do you think's gonna happen going into this merge? What is the deal? This is a mess.
No idea. Merge is always a mess. And I'm always here for it. Don't know what anything could happen, really. Does anyone have an idol anymore?
No. Jamal played. No, Jamal and Kelly were the only ones who had idols. Oh, we're no going idols. To merge with no idols and
that's
no
fun.
Advantages? Anybody that's have an cool. advantage?
I don't think so, no.
Oh my gosh. What? Someone tell us the last time that this happened. We go into a merge with no idols and no advantages. What a time to be alive.
It. Here we are, season 39, bringing it back.
Back to basics. Y'all wanted a back to basics season.
It's half back to
we
basics.
We have it
right?
even.
We're almost there.
Yeah, we're back to old school. Rob and Sandra are back.
Yeah. Guys, it's season 4. Whoa.
Yeah. So Rob and Sandra now, do you think that there are any changes to what Island of the Idols entails?
I don't think so. I feel like it's going to keep going on until like final 6 or something and then... They'll stop.
Yeah.
Who knows, really? I mean, they had that one week where they just didn't do it. So maybe
they don't do it.
Who knows?
This week.
Who knows? I
could see them not doing it this week. Probably because the merge is so sensitive where I feel like if you look at someone the wrong way, you could get voted out. So I feel like going to Island of the Idols at the merge could be
a target
on someone.
Or maybe that's why they would do it.
Or maybe that's why they would do it exactly so that we have like a Chris Noble situation where you have an idol that has to be played like tomorrow. And
yeah,
maybe
you have
actually
10
play
minutes
it this
to
time.
Play this idol. We're not going
and then
to
you can leave.
10 minutes, Joe.
And then yeah, you and Janet can leave.
Yeah, go. And then you go get to feast on Applebee's right back at the beach while everyone's at Tribal Council.
Could you imagine if they had Applebee's twice?
Oh my God, that would be,
think
that would
of
be
the
so
memes.
Funny. That would be so... Oh. Island of the Applebee's.
Island of the Applebee's. Yeah. So I think definitely, I mean, two idols are going to get rehidden because two were played.
Two? I think it's just one because only Kelly's was from Island.
Kelly's
was an
Island Idol.
And ooh, they, it's like one per beach usually, right?
Yeah, one per beach.
Pretty fun.
And then no one ever found one. Well, Chelsea found her on Lyra Beach, but then no one ever found it again. So this is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. I'm liking where we're shaping up.
Good season. Good season.
Fantastic season. I'm trying to think. Oh, Boston Rob got the episode title.
Did he? Oh my God. Stupid Boston Rob and Sandra ruining our prop bet.
So
stealing
okay.
all the episode titles.
Two things we forgot to talk about. One, this is quick. No reaction to Jason getting voted out. I really wish we got that.
Yeah. What? I like those.
I love
faces.
That, especially because I thought that was really going to influence how tonight went, which it obviously didn't. But right. I was really upset we didn't get that.
Yeah, and that then, was unfortunate.
So we're talking Kelly's winning, but also Janet's winning because Sandra, the only two-time winner, had a opus about why Janet's going to win this season, or a woman's going to win this
a
season.
A woman.
I think a woman has to win the season now. If not,
so how many women are left? Eight.
Sure.
Hey, it's eight women left, right? Because only Chelsea and Molly have gotten been voted out before, like so far.
Oh, that's good math. Yeah.
Eight people. You're right. Eight people could win this season. That's a lot.
That is a lot. It's more than half.
That's more than half.
That is.
We got a horse race, people. It's gonna be a beeline to the finish, or maybe
yeah.
When's the finale? Have they announced that yet?
They did. It is Wednesday, December 18th, which is
okay.
also the night of my work holiday party, which I found out. But I'm just going to have to leave that party early and podcast.
For Survivor.
So yeah, I think we'll probably have like a double boot at some point wrapped into this.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, finale's coming in hot. We have only a little over a month left of the season, which is crazy because this season, hashtag do not sleep on 39. I love that hashtag this is all they're tweeting out. I love that they're not interacting with each other, but they're doing this. I think it's so good. This season's fantastic.
So it's a good season.
Yeah.
I think the cheesy seasons are always the one that are like end up being really good, you know? Because everyone's like, oh, David versus Goliath, that's weird. Oh, Edge of Extinction. I'm not gonna like, I mean, controversial, but whatever.
Yeah, it was a little different. No, this one's gimmicky, but I think I'm liking it because I think everyone's kind of leaning into it. Like the Applebee's thing. But with the Island of the Idols, like Kelly had made a comment about how, you know, there's this little club of people who understand what's going on. Do you think at the merge, like Kelly and Elizabeth are going to hook up, or Kelly and Elaine, they're all going to say, hey, this
thing
happened.
It is really
funny
that both tribes are kind of keeping it like a little secret.
Yeah.
And so then they're going to like join together and form like one giant secret club.
I mean, that could be an alliance right there. The cool kids table. Yeah. Boston Rob and Sandra's babies.
Oh, okay.
That came out weirder than
that. Doesn't intend it
to.
Tongue very well.
Which is fine. All right. What else? We're at 51 minutes. I feel like we've kind of hit everything. Who do you think? Okay. So at this point, we're halfway through. Who are your top two winner picks?
Kelly, I don't know. I want to say, I want to not believe Sandra in saying like, I just don't like it when they're like, oh, a woman's winning this season like already. Or like, what was it, season 30 when like someone said the winner is on this mat on like the blue collar tribe. I'm like, oh, don't tell me. Like,
yeah.
Shut up, show. So I want to like pick like Aaron or Jamal. I want to pick like Aaron or Jamal or somebody. I think Lauren could still win too. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say Kelly twice and avoid the answer. What about you?
I think really, really love that avoidance right there. I think Kelly's such like a lukewarm pick. But you all know that I love a good lukewarm take. So I'm going to go with Kelly. I think Kelly could win. I think the Tommy winner edit kind of dropped a little bit.
It did. I feel like it has.
It did. I think he's, I don't know. We're just showing him like going a little crazy, which I think is fun, but I think Tommy's going to bounce back just fine. I think everybody likes him.
Yeah,
I think fine. Kelly and I think Missy, I think it could be either them or, I think Jamal would be a really interesting winner. Or Aaron, you make it Aaron. Like Aaron had a really
Jamal
quiet episode.
Jamal would be a really fun winner.
Yeah. So we'll see. We got some good stuff coming
up.
But yeah, so for those of you who very much enjoyed that it was just me and Robert, make sure to tweet at Phil Wood Jr. There are probably some underscores in there that you would.
Phil underscore Wood underscore Jr.
There you go. So he texts me, he's at his boss's work party, which is cool. So he's not here, but he will be back for our episode 8/ merge predictions, which we will be doing this coming Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, with none other than Kellen Bechtold. We are very excited to have her. We always have a great time when she comes on. She is being tasked with a very, very difficult predictions, even though all of them have been difficult and everyone's been really wrong about those.
You guys are really making your rounds on the Ghost Island cast.
I know. Yeah, we really like them. They're good. Fun. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Phil is doing all these work things, so I might be doing this alleged Wiggle Room, which name I did not consent to. So we'll be doing that for our $5 patrons.
No, Alexa, you got to be Phil. Can I be Alexa?
Oh, do you want to be? Okay, so Robert, take us home.
Okay. So if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support us, to give us money so we can keep doing what we love doing, which is talking about Survivor to you guys, donate to us on Patreon. If you, you know, only have a little bit of money and want to do $1 a month, you get access to the Facebook page. $5 a month is Q&A.
Yep.
Right?
And the Wiggle Room.
I thought $10 was Wiggle Room. It's on the Patreon, patreon.com/survivorspecialists. If you get $20 a month and you want to join the Power Rankings game still, even though it's pretty late, I mean, you know, maybe you want to make a Chris Underwood level comeback and, you know, win at the very end. You win a buff. That's for $20 patrons. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Survivor Specialists, just like look for it. It's a lot of letters and we couldn't fit all of them in.
It's like Survivor Specialists.
It's Survivor with vowels and then Specialists without vowels.
Olio 411 wants an Alexa wig for Robert.
If you support us on Patreon, I will get an Alexa wig and do the Alexa recap as Alexa.
I'm into that.
I should not have committed to that so soon, but here we are. I'm already in. And rate us on your podcast app of choice. We are on iTunes and Spotify. If there's a big movement of people that want us on Google Play, like we can get us on there. But I don't know. I don't use Google Play, so. Maybe I'm in the minority. So we'll see. Alexa, did I miss anything?
No, that was beautiful. And you did a better job than I did. So if you want me to become Phil and you want Robert to become me, just tell us that. We will make it happen. All right. Yeah. I'm going to hit the end broadcast and there might be an awkward pause. So bear with us.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Love ya.